I'm glad you're all here, and I'm glad everybody's here to be at this time in their life to say to the world, I don't want you anymore. I want Jesus Christ. And that's the best words that can be given to those who are coming into Christ. Today, we're going to do a lesson today, God willing, that is going to talk about small things become large in the hand of God. I've been in situations, as many of you have, where it's not always been just ducky. You know, ducky is everything's good. I've been shot at. I didn't get shot, but I've been shot at. I've been burned. I've been ignorant. But I know God is on my side. I have no fear whatsoever that I'm not in the embrace of God. In the following text that we'll have today, we can see a principle of how small acts of faith from a mother and a grandmother can change the world. There were grandfathers and grandmothers here today showing that to be here and be a part of it. If you're a mother or grandmother, a father or grandfather, mom or dad, these words are for you. Typically, we like to see huge actions and great things happen, but overlook those things that are smaller. Never think that it's always the big thing that makes it right, because a whole lot of the time, it's the small things that make it better. In Acts chapter 16, 1-5, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where the disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and believer, but spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along with him on a journey, so he circumcised him. And because of the Jews who lived in the area, for that all they knew, that his father was a Greek, they delivered the decision to reach by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew in the numbers because of what was going on with Paul. And since we're discussing a Jewish Greek mix in the bloodline of the young man Timothy, we need to be sure to remember that this door was open to him when the very prejudice Peter set himself and his culture aside and baptized Cornelius in Acts 10, opening the gospel to the Gentiles. But you'll see that God is able with them to bring them into this fold and make that of no difference. If you speak different than somebody else, that doesn't make you bad. I listen to people who live around, but they're not from here. You know what I'm saying? And you ask them, hey, what about so-and-so? And they look at you like, and I don't know what they're talking about, and I don't even know what the stare's about, but it tells me y'all ain't from here. Timothy was Paul's special chosen, close to his side, his running partner, everywhere he went. And from a way of life of the Jewish world particularly, if you look at it closely, and in the reality of the situation, two other Jews saw him when he was seen as a half-breed. Now, to say the least, this is the family dynamic and would likely be unusual in the day and time, even in those times. It appears that this mixed breed, Timothy, made the choice to follow his Jewish half more than his Gentile half. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but in the last while, there's been a lot of different people coming into this country. These people come from another place where we don't understand their language. Here's a letter. Paul to Timothy, my dear son, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus the Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, and I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God which is in you through the laying on the hands, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. When people are not from around here, we just say, boy, they're foreigners. But do you know, to the scriptures that we read from, we would have all been the weirdos in the world. For this, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift which is in you through the laying on the hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline so that we are not ashamed. Rather, join me in the suffering of the gospel for the power of God. It has served us and called us to a holy life because of anything we've done because of on His own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Listen to that. Let me ask you this. Before time, what was there? God was there. The Son, Jesus Christ, was there. I can tell you this, when you're dealing with God, there is no equal. You can't get better. You can't do better. We do get these reminders. Be on your guard. I'm taking a position more and more because of what's happening in our world right now. I want to be closer and closer to God, and further away from people I don't know that may be bringing harm to our life. It's interesting that the first real thing that Paul mentioned to Timothy was how he was raised. He made a point to encourage him in his faith and in his ministry. When discussing his ministry, Paul didn't appear to give him some great instruction on how to get it done, as we might think he would. It was certain that he encouraged him in his faith and his ministry, which would be common and necessary to do, but Paul chose to take the look at how the young man was raised. Both his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. I'm going to tell you something. I had a Papa Aldrich. He kept a little dip of snuff in his jaw right there, like most of them did. And we'd sit up under a tree, and he had talked to me about stuff. He didn't get real religious. He did talk to me about real kind of life, which sometimes that's way better. Both Eunice and Lois had created a legacy of belief in which they lived, in which they instructed this young Timothy. When Paul stepped in and took on Timothy as his special project, he started immediately to create and resolve in him the use of his life spreading the gospel to Jesus Christ. He started that with a young boy. Timothy had grown up in the hands of these two women and had known no other way to live except by faith. Wouldn't you love to know that the greatest thing you have in this world right now is faith? Timothy had grown up in the hands of these women and known no other way. At the same time, he reached in and acknowledged the awesome impact of his mother and his grandmother had in his life. If we were curious at all, we'd want to know just how do we do with this? How do we shape ourselves more like God through godly women and godly men? What was it that the dual motherhood of this family that was done because this young man had such an impact? What caused that? What brought all that about? What made that come to be? Paul evidently had a close relationship with both of these women for him to know the inner workings of this home. It's not a casual opinion, but rather it seems to be first-hand view of the home life of this people. These who have been baptized just today, I watched, knowing what was in this lesson today, and I watched the beaming in the faces of those when they were baptized here today. I saw the mothers and fathers. I saw that beam. Why did that beam come there? Because that's what God does with you. Holds it in your heart. The best thing you can do in young people is hang out with old people. What happens is young people say, man, I don't want to hang out with old people until they get about 35. And they come back home and they say, I wish I'd have listened to you. I wish you'd have just slapped me and made me listen to you. That's what's happening in these texts. Paul seemed to take a special interest in Timothy and these women because in his eyes, he's seeing Israel is what Israel should look like. Timothy was about to step out into the world and who was basically rejecting God. And then the preparation for these women had provided for him all that he needed. Timothy had been instructed, not just in the word, but also in the practical ways to employ this thing. It's more likely than not that the Greek father would not have been on the same page as Eunice and Lois. The Greeks had a vastly different way of looking at things, and we're left only to imagine what this thing was about with Timothy. When I was in school in Watts Ferry Road, we had a guy in our class that we'll have to learning Hebrew and Greek, and when most of us started learning how to quit cussing, we lost half our ability. But let me tell you this, what happened is God can turn things around. He can make it fit when it won't fit anywhere else. I believe a small life of great faithfulness can change the world. Nothing was recorded about Lois and Eunice taking on the world to teach the gospel to every creature. Nothing is said about either of them leading hundreds or thousands to Christ. All I can know from these texts is that Timothy was taught by these two godly women and was prepared to be a vessel used by God through Paul, which would have had a tremendous effect on the world. They were known for their great faith. What difference can our acts of faith make if we employ them? Let's say we have them out here. We know how to make a difference, but we don't. What good is it? It's good for nothing unless it's employed. If you're frustrated by all of the competing influences that seem to drown out the message of God, God has given us ways to make it happen. Small acts of faith matter. Well, I can't do anything big. You don't have to do anything big. In the hands of God, how big can something get? There's no limit. We never know what God can do or will do with our obedience. What we need to know is God is not making holy suggestions, but rather He requires that all of us promote and share the gospel message. When we follow Him, leading others to these truths of salvation, we can be confident that we can be alike, join in the ranks of men and women of sincere faith. Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you remember that he is the one man driving along in a chariot and had been to Jerusalem to worship? Are you aware that he was not from around there? Do you remember that he lived 1,000 miles away? Now, you can get in a car and you can go a long way. You get in a chariot, you got a horse pulling you. And to get there 1,000 miles, you're going to be on the road a while. Can God make things work in a bigger way? Yes. But isn't it awesome that the Ethiopian eunuch would go 1,000 miles just to be a part of what's going on in God's people? Though he was a proselyte, he was not yet baptized into the covenant of Jesus Christ. And if you ask yourself, what can one man or one woman do in the world and make a difference? What could this account do that it would inspire God to even put it in the Bible? Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. Now, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the desert road goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So important official in charge of the treasury of the Candite, which means Queen and Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading a book of Isaiah the prophet and the Spirit. So Philip go to the chariot and stay near it. And Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip said. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? His life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began at the very same passage and told him the good news about Jesus. And they traveled along the road to some water where the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" You saw that today. "What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Otas and traveled about the preaching the gospel in the towns at Caesarea. God is on our side. There's nothing, nowhere, in all of that that you and I cannot embrace. You don't have to have a chariot. You don't have to have that part of the old world just caking at you all the time. But that's what this book's for. You get this book right here if you get you one of these. And the more you know about what's in it, you can just go there. There was a time when things didn't happen to me the way they do now. I could tell you almost any passage in this book without looking at it. Surely, if we get to look at it, we ought to be able to say, I believe we need to spend more time with this thing. We need to get back in the book. We need to listen to what God has to say. God can take things that are so small, that seem to be so small, and make them huge. On the other hand, God has the power to take all of what you have and give it to somebody else, if He chose. But you know what God would do? He wouldn't be that nasty about it. God would tell you to give the person beside you a chance, and that two of you together can work together in love and in the spirit of what God would have us do. God is on our side. We will never, ever lose when we give ourselves to God. And the church says, Amen.